football on Off the Ball.
We have a talent deficit at the moment that we probably never had in the history of our senior team. We're also not getting the most out of them. Mm. We're really not.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 97 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, folks, with analysis, race previews, tip stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. And a reminder, folks, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your pods each week. How are you, Johnny?
Good, JD.
The Arc de Triomphe, Mini Hawk. Maybe we thought you had it, but Darius was there with the wet sail, Mikhail Barcelona, and wins the Arc for the late Aga Khan stud.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, as I explained last week, I thought the ground might have been gone a bit for Mini Hawk. And it's funny with ground, like, sometimes you listen to connections and you think you have an idea in your head, but she certainly wasn't backed as if ground were an issue. She was so well backed, Mini Hawk, and the ground was officially very soft, but it's kind of hard to know with French descriptions as well at times. But anyone who's been listening to the show will know I was on about her for a while, but for the Arc, and you would have been sick if you backed her anti-post because, like, it's rare that two horses pull, what, 5.5 lengths clear of the field in what looked a competitive Arc. And as much as she was well backed on the day, and kind of the race went like clockwork for much of it, you don't expect an Arc. I don't remember Arc horses, even the brilliant, brilliant winners of the Arc. I really don't remember them pulling that far clear. Like, maybe you get heavy ground Arcs that are completely fake results. But for the two of them to pull that far clear, particularly in a rather unheralded winner in Darius, who kind of fit the profile in a way, but he'd so lightly raced over 1.5 miles and needed to improve. And there's been a lot of chat about the ride Soumillon gave Mini Hawk since. And I'm kind of the opinion, JD, that if the race were run on this Sunday with the horses turning up in the same form and Soumillon had a memory of what happened 7 days before, it might be different. And it's not so much that I feel he did much wrong, but I do feel that Mikhail Barcelona had absolutely something to aim at. But the last point on this is, if you watch the jockey's body language, and I was actually on to a trainer about this morning. I feel we could have way more data on jockeys in races, not to mind the horses. What's the jockey's heart rate in a race, for example? Could give an example of a horse that's not trying, or a jockey who's not trying. But in this instance, if it were to reveal something, I think it was still a bit snug for Darius. Like, Mikhail Barcelona didn't really get after him. It was a slightly snug verdict at the line. But if you were on Mini Hawk, you're gutted. What a performance by her. Like, you know, we always talk about the winners, and we always talk about the ride of the month or the ride of the year was on the winner. And history is written by winners, but it shouldn't be, because Mini Hawk was an incredible winner of the Arc here, really, if you take one horse out.
How to See the Stars as well, Darius. Mm. Maybe the biggest See the Stars winner?
See the Stars has had very good racehorses and is a top sire. Off the top of my head, though, like, Baid would probably be his best horse.
Arc winner?
I don't remember him having an Arc winner, though. I don't think he has. See the Stars from a great family, and it's no surprise that he's turned up to be a very good stallion. But I think, off the top of my head, I was at, actually, Longchamp when he won the Arc, but I think that's his first Arc winner. He's a very good sire, but this would be his first Arc
winner. What was the reaction of the crowd when he won? It was amazing.
It was great, yeah. It was really great. It was great. There seemed to be a lot of Irish there that year in particular, and the French really appreciated him, because I think he was, like, odds on, was he? He was very short anyway. And I do remember, like, I can be quite cynical as well, because I backed something else in the race. I can't remember what it was. Maybe, like, one of Hamdan's horses that was often placed in the race. And I certainly lost money on the race, so I was a little bit sour, because that could have been the weekend where we were just backing losers. Weekend, we did race in, race out. But the French loved him, like, and it was also the John Ox, Mick Canan story. Like, they were both coming to the end of their careers in a way. So, and I think the Longchamp crowds that day, they really wanted it. They really appreciated a good racehorse, regardless of where he was trained.
The Darius will stay in training as a 4-year-old.
That's the way it should be as well. Like, what's the point breeding horses if they're only going to run for, like, 6 or 7 races, or, you know, running a 3-year-old campaign? And that was a remarkable thing about him. Like, he only started racing a few months ago. He's a really unusual profile from a trainer on the up. But as a 4-year-old, it would be lovely to see him back in the race last year, because I don't think it was a vintage arc, but when you have two unexposed three-year-olds like pulling that far clear, you have to stand up and say, and Minnie Hawk, in terms of Frankel, like Aidan O'Brien hasn't had that many Frankel breads because obviously he's not standing at Coolmore, but he has a superstar here. She's an incredible racehorse.
We had a good day for the Irish, that aside, on the Sunday. So Barnavara, Group 1 for Jessica Harrington, Diamond Necklace and Puerto Rico, Group 1s for Aidan O'Brien as two-year-olds. So Jessica Harrington, you know, from moving from jumps winners, champion hurdle winners, Gold Cup winners to a Group 1 winner at Longchamp on the Sunday for a very consistent horse who went out in the front under Shane Foley and she just kind of plugging away.
Plugging away, yeah, and I spoke to Shane Foley about this on the Monday because he was back in Killarney, and I just pointed out to him, like, you got to be, like, winning a Group 1 on Arc Day, but winning by a short neck, a short head and a short neck, like, just mustn't get any better than that. And I was on another podcast with Paddy Flood, and he was talking about Shane's riding style. I like to watch a race sometimes that I've no interest in and just, like, pick out the jockey on a particular horse, say, that's such and such, that's such and such.
Jockey cam.
Jockey cam. It's a good game, actually. Like, if you could have it as, instead of having, like, a race night, you could have it, like, you have to pick the jockey. And you could even do it in different generations. But, like, they have their own individual styles. I'd say the jockeys would know, like, you know the way Aidan O'Brien knows every racehorse that he looks at. I'd say the jockeys would know, absolutely. But for the average punter, it might be a bit more difficult. But Shane's style is quite unique. And it's probably not, like, the most, like, sensuously stylish kind of way of riding a horse, but he's really strong. And to win a race by those margins at the top level, particularly for Jessica Harrington, who, like, has had a kind of a quiet season in some ways with her, certainly with her 2 year-olds, her long time to get going. But now she was predicting she'd have a better end of the year. And then you mentioned Puerto Rico. I put him up on this show as, like, a horse that I thought was a really great bet to beat True Love at the Curra in July when she beat him by 5 lengths. And funnily enough,
he was very good last week.
He was very good, like, and it just shows with Aidan O'Brien, like, he made his debut on the 4th of June. He's now run 7 times. He's run in 2 Group 1s, 3 Group 3s. And you see with these Wooden Basset horses, including today and tomorrow in Newmarket, he's running them a lot. And he just seems to be improving a lot, this horse.
Diamond Necklace was a horse that looks a stayer almost in the future.
I'd agree, yeah. It's, you know, with the way that, with her pedigree and the way that she races, I'd be... What price is she to win the Oaks next year? Let's have a quick look. She was a horse who looked like...
Whirl won that this year, obviously.
Yeah, and it's Whirl is by Wooden Basset. Minnie Hawk is by Frankel, but this one is by St. Mark's Basilica. So, you know, a lot of people don't have much interest in the breeding side of it, but St. Mark's Basilica could be a big sire for Coolmore because he's not by Galileo, so that opens options to the mares that he can meet. And he might have a superstar here. She's very, very good.
When you're sizing up a race, would you ever just go, no, that horse ain't going to stay that distance because of the sire or the
time? Yeah, and people would say to me, some of my friends in racing would say, I'm too kind of dogmatic on stuff like that, that it's not. Like, I'd often, particularly over jumps, I'd oppose horses in bumpers or generally over 2 miles if they're by, like, say, a sprinter or stuff like that. Now, that's not always the case, but generally I'm not bad on that stuff. And I feel a lot of punters don't take any notice of that. Like, horses who end up in, say, in bumpers who are flatbred, like, invariably, they just don't get the trip. And they end up in bumpers because they're slow or big or late developing. But absolutely, there are some sires I generally wouldn't go near. And say, Mark's Basilica isn't one of them. And William Hill is 7-1 for the Oaks next year. I wouldn't put anyone off that.
The William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series launched last week, as we know.
I have a runner in one of the races on Sunday. Would you believe?
I thought you stopped having runners.
Well, I did until I didn't. So on Sunday, I have a runner in the William Hill. Let me get it up here.
This is the 217 at Cork, is
this
it?
This is what we've all been waiting for, JD.
Oh,
217,
God.
The William Hill Each Way.
You
don't sound too excited for me, Book Away
Freddy.
You
never tell me this.
Yeah, well, what are you doing on Sunday?
I'm working on the radio.
Not anymore. You're coming to Mallow.
Book Away Freddy. So, look, I thought you were out of this game, and now you're back in.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't advise anyone to get involved in racehorses.
And you still are.
Yeah.
Now, how many, I mean, now you're revealing this live in the pod. Is this the only one you have?
Yeah, and... Yeah, I think, just let me look at this officially. Yeah, it's the only one I have. Strictly speaking, it's actually a partnership with the trainer, but and that's fine. You don't, you know the way some people have horse and other people's names, it's nothing like that. Like it's this is all above board or whatever.
So this is the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge Series Handicap Hurdle at Cork 217 on Sunday.
Yeah, so the series has been going great guns.
2 miles, 2.5 furlongs. Just before we get into Book Away, Freddie, I just want to kind of explain, folks, if you're hearing for the first time, if you missed the pod last week. So William Hill incentivizing the grassroots of the sport by supporting this new jumps racing series for the smaller yards. The series will encompass 50 races at 28 meetings across 13 Irish tracks this national hunt season. A prize fund of €135,000. The series will see points allocated per qualifying race to trainers and jockeys from 1st to 7th with an overall table to decide the prize winners next April. Any trainers eligible to run horses in the races, but the trainer prize fund is limited to trainers with fewer than 50 winners in the last two seasons in either code. The winning trainer will receive €50,000, prizes down to 10th place. The top three riders and stable staff will receive 10,000, 5,000 and €2,500 respectively. Any rider who rides for a qualifying trainer will have bonus points allocated. There are no points restrictions for stable staff from yards which do not qualify for bonus points under the initiative, which is supported by the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, the Irish Jockeys Association and the Irish Stable Staff Association. For example, last week we had winning trainers such as Pádraig Roach, Peter Fahey, Ross O'Sullivan and Alexander Ott. Gordon Elliott also won one of the races.
Yeah, it's just something a bit different, and I have been racing since this was brought in, and there's you know, Phelim Cunningham was at Killarney both days from the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, and I think I'd be keen to point out that this is really it's kind of a cross section of the industry involved in this, where trainers are obviously up for it, but generally I think it's a good initiative from the bookmaker as well, because it gets its name to an awful lot of races, and it encourages goodwill, and it gets like. The National Hunt game, and I really believe this, the National Hunt game is not where it should be in terms of domination by a small number of owners, really. It should be far more, you know, egalitarian, and stuff like this helps.
Yes. So, Book Away Freddie, your runner at Cork on Sunday. He's had 6 runs, pulled up last time. His first run was his best run at Nace on heavy ground last year. He was second. Since then, he's had a difficult second album.
He's had, I think the second album is a B-side that hasn't really been released, or is like in a.
His last run was in May at Wexford, held up in rear, mistake 4 out, weakened after 3 out, pulled up home turn.
I went to Nace when he ran. I couldn't go to Wexford. I think I was working elsewhere, but I went to Nace and Alex Harvey was complimentary of him afterwards. And obviously his first run for Gordon Elliott, he was second. Wexford, I think he had an excuse, but I'll know more on Sunday. I actually don't know. I haven't really been talking to the trainer much, but he's in good nick, the horse, and it's a terrible race, so we'll be hoping he'll do something.
Yes.
Racehorse ownership is... we'll talk about the Birdcatcher, JD, like the where prize money's going in this country. It's not good, and certainly at the lower level, when you're paying the same fees as if you're training a superstar, you need some prize money coming.
So what have you seen in this type that you might think he might end up winning a race?
Book Away Freddie. Yeah. I basically with John McConnell, I tried to get a horse out of a particular yard one time, and I couldn't. And then I noticed John McConnell had bought a horse out of the same yard, so I went in halves on that horse with John McConnell. And he actually, I was very excited by him, but like, this is so typical of racehorse ownership. He just developed little problems. And racehorses, particularly in the jump side, they're so prone to injuries and little niggles and all of this. And it just starts becoming, and you're paying like, say your average training fee is like 1500 a month or something like that. It can be more, it can be a lot more, it can be a little bit less, but this all adds up. And then when the horses go to the races and when they do, all there's a lot of add-ons as well. He had, and in fairness, John sourced this horse as a replacement for him, and I said, so why not? And racehorse ownership, and a lot of people who own racehorses would know exactly what I'm talking about here. It's like when you're heads up in poker and you go in with like a poor hand, but basically you're heads up, so you kind of keep responding to what the other player is doing, and you're kind of pot committed after a while, and if you've committed 50% of the pot on nothing because you've only a pair of threes or less, you might as well just keep going at that stage, because you're like, well, I might as well just lose. After wasting $8,000, I might as well waste 12 and have a little bit of hope. That's what racehorse ownership is actually about. It's like, I've wasted so much, so I might as well waste a bit more.
Sometimes it works out. You're hiding because the owner's called Sean Machanbaird.
That's Sean Machanbaird is my name in Irish. Yeah, I wanted to the bookmakers not to be aware of me. You know.
Now, look, You're not working in Cork on Sunday unless you are. But it happens on, say, this is like Peter Sullivan had this, I think his horse won the Triumph Hurdle in the 70s, the commentator, and he had to say, I think it was a TiVo owned by Peter Sullivan. So would you be interviewing yourself if Book Away Freddie won at Cork?
What was that
on
like?
Sunday?
What was that magazine, Roy the Rovers, when he was like a player manager and he used to give himself like a dressing down at halftime? Had a great finish here at Newmark, by the way. I mean, I've done some mad things on the racetrack, and sure, why not? Yeah, that actually wouldn't be a bad idea.
Be the two Johnnies, literally.
Yeah, to having a conversation
with
two
yourself.
Johnnies getting, I'd say.
Well, we're the real two Johnnies.
We're earning far less money, JD, than the actual two Johnnies, but fair play to them.
You'd have to get John McConnell to actually interview you.
He could interview me, yeah. I think
Book Away Freddie. Has he got any chance, or maybe one for the future?
I genuinely actually don't know. I haven't really spoken to the trainer. And like, if you want to go to Mallow and make a day of it, like, I go racing enough, so I want to go down and see. Like, he want to be shown something. But again, he's had little issues as well. Everything I'm involved in is no good, has issues, or both. But sorry, the 4 stars got involved in was great, and that's the problem.
Operation Houdini.
Yeah, that's the problem. I only own 10% of him, but
it's like Granny in Dostoevsky's The Gambler. Mm. That's the character. I think she wins sort of the first. I think it's 36-1. She wins her first, and then I've got to do this all the time now. And then it never happens. I think she gets zero on roulette.
Yeah, I remember my first memory of going racing, and I'm very lucky that all the photos of us as children were taken by our American cousins, because we didn't have a camera, and like, we were real. You know, bacon and cabbage every day, going once a year to Salt Hill for the day, like, lived a farming life, like, didn't really have no frills kind of upbringing. And we didn't have a camera, certainly. Like, you know, it's hard to believe. Like, my son had more photos taken of him in the first hour of his life than I did, I'd say, in my first 20 years in life. Do you know that sort of way? But amazingly, there's a photo of me at the races, my first day at the races, that survives. And I just distinctly remember everything went right. And
Where was it?
Galway. And I remember I lost a docket. Now, obviously, I shouldn't have been betting, but I was betting on the tote and whatever. I was probably like 12 or something. So you should not be doing this, but obviously I was. And I put on one bet and the horse finished second. And I just left the docket. I threw the docket basically beside me. It's where I was sitting. And I was walking away anyway. I'd walked away and then public announcer goes, there's a stewards inquiry, hold on to all bets. And I was like, oh, what should I do with it? Because you can't, if you lose your tote bets, I mean, that's it, you're done. So I went back like to where I thought I was sitting and I found the docket. They reversed the results. So I won even though the horse finished second. That's how unlucky I was to think racing was so easy as it was the first day I went racing. Look at us now.
Book Away Freddie runs Cork on Sunday.
Yeah. Hopefully Freddie shows something.
Now, you'd like to run in the Dewhurst at Newmarket on Saturday.
Group one, maybe one day.
For two-year-olds.
Imagine the two of us on a good racehorse. Wouldn't that be some fun?
What would you call it?
Oh, my God. The two Johnnies.
Or Principal Skinner.
After a Simpsons character opens up a lot of scope.
Yeah. Wanderley Flagon. Yeah. Some of them I had in my head. I've already designed my colours in my head, but I've yet to get to the racehorse.
What are the colours?
There is a... Because my dad was Clare, so there's a Clare on the sleeves, would be kind of saffron and blue. Mm. The mother is Limerick, so green and white cap. And then the middle probably be blue of the Dublin colours. So that'd be the kind of the thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, that could work.
I always loved it was John Mulhern's colours with the question mark.
They were great John colours. Mulhern, absolutely, yeah. It's funny, there's a horse run, I think, today, and the colours are unbelievably similar to mine, and somebody was asking me, were they mine? But it is good fun putting your colours together. I think I was responsible for the naming of one racehorse, because if you want to name a racehorse, obviously the horse has to be unnamed, so it has to have never run, so it has to be like a store horse, or basically a yearling, or a two-year-old. And I absolutely loved the name for the connotations of it. Like, there's that line in the Yeats poem, O body sway to music, O brightening glance. How can you tell the dancer from the dance? And it's that idea of the art within the artist. It's just like they become one. And like, I've always thought the jockey on the racehorse, Paul Carberry on a horse, is like, who's the dancer and who's dancing here? Like, or who's actually, like, it's just one dancer from the dance. So it's this like kind of profound question on how can you tell the artist from the art? The horse was useless. Just useless, yeah. Went to Willie Mullins and Charles Burns, like good trainers. Couldn't move.
City of names aside, I think if I did have a fortune of having a horse, I think it would call it pretty something regal and grand and good. Because something like the Easter 1916 or something, or the War of Independence or some historical figure.
Yeah, there's some great names lately, actually. I must bring that up in the show next week. Just lastly on this, the Dance from the Dance, the great thing was 18 letters is the maximum characters. Dancer from the Dance as one word is exactly 18 characters. So you could have a great name that doesn't fit in. I'm watching a bit of Countdown lately, actually. Maybe I'm going to get better with names. I've started watching Countdown.
How are you in the conundrums?
Not great in the conundrums.
You good in the numbers?
I'm not good in the, I was okay at maths, but like the yesterday, I swear to God, I got an 8 letter. Like, which is good for me. It was resonate. And your man got 9. And I'd had it back to horse. I'd go betting horse. I was beaten in a photo finish. And then I was trying to, like, get my mood back up, resonate. And it was like neuromast, I think was the word he came up with. This brilliant lad, like, resonate. Anyway.
Remember the joke about when Carol was putting out the letters and she went, why? And he said, because I said so.
It's actually, do you know the guy who presents it? He used to present the Northern Lad.
I only remember Richard Whiteley.
Yeah. So
the late Richard Whiteley.
So Rachel Riley obviously now has replaced Carol Vorderman, but the presenter at the moment is the Northern Irish guy who used to present Match of the Day. Do you remember?
Colin Murray, or
yes,
Colin Murray.
Yeah, and he's quite funny. Like he's so it's kind of like, you know, should I be? I remember watching Countdown after school. Should I be watching it now at 42 years of age? Well, yes,
because you got a young whippersnapper.
Yeah, and I work weekends more so than during the week.
Horse racing names. It's obviously be careful. I'm sure there's regulations. You can't have a rude name or anything. I remember somebody did get across the Who Gives a Donald.
Very good.
Got into it. Yeah.
There's one in the States that I really liked. WRECKED was the first word, and EM was the second. So you can read into that what you will, and I got away with it.
I don't even understand what you're saying there. So
yeah, some people listening will.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's not rude, Johnny.
It kind of is. Yeah, but Aidan O'Brien has some great names lately. I think he's really put more effort in. Like Diamond Necklace, cool names. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to get a dual horse winner together.
If you were rude there, Johnny, we apologise.
No, this is just the name of a racehorse. Okay. It's actually the name of a racehorse.
Okay, yeah. So we apologise, but I have no idea what you mean. So the Dewhurst at Newmarket on Saturday, 3 o'clock, 7 furlongs, good ground. This is the, I suppose, possibly the trial, is it, for the Guineas maybe next year in a way? Gestad won the Coventry at Ascot, then was second in the National Stakes behind Zavateri, who reopposes. A lot of support for Distance Storm, the Godolphin horse in recent days, the course and distance winner. How are you assessing it?
Yeah, we mentioned St. Mark's Basilica, JD. The winners of this race over the last 10 renewals, Air Force Blue, Churchill, US Navy Flag, Two Darn Hot, Pinatubo, St. Mark's Basilica, Native Trail, Shaldian, City of Troy and Shadow of Light. It's a brilliant, brilliant race. I love the Dewhurst. Great fondness for Jim Bulger when he'd new approach and Teofilo and those good two-year-olds back in the day. And it's a absolutely brilliant renewal of the race, but it's really hard to call what the winner is. You could basically, certainly 7 or 8 of the runners, you could make claims for. Say, for example, my selection here is a speculative one, but it's Saba Desert because his run was so bad at the Curragh. He's now a 25-1 chance. He beat Italy at Newmarket, so obviously he likes Newmarket, and they're putting cheap pieces on him. Billy Lochnan rides. I'm going with him, but he's second outsider in the field, and that's a sign of how deep the race is.
I'm going to go for the two ones I highlighted were Al Parslan, who got 75 grand, won at the Curragh last time.
Massively well backed at the Curragh, yeah.
And then Gestad, if that's the way you pronounce it, won the Coventry, as I said. Has to be thereabouts again on that run of the National Stakes if you think there's improvement there. And we saw with Puerto Rico that running them a lot doesn't actually have a negative now, a bit negative in the market out of 7-2. But I was going to pick one. If you put a revolver to my head, probably be Gestad.
Yeah, Gestad, it was a kind of a muddling race at Deauville when he was beaten, and he's second to Zavateri. I don't think he had any real excuse that day, but it was a strong run. And generally, the sire's progeny, they seem to just take their racing very well. And he was a kind of a hardy two-year-old. And he's closely matched with Zavateri. And they're basically the same price now, give or take. There's just so much more to
that. A lot of support behind this Distance Storm, though. I mean,
yeah, so I suppose it wasn't necessarily...
Like, he's still learning. I mean, he got beaten at York, but then he won over the course and distance. Top connections, obviously. But William Buick and
Yeah, I think that's. I think your point there is that he's really intriguing pedigree, this horse, because he's out of the one of the very rare George Washington bred horses. How many? Like, George Washington got so few horses to stud, and one of them was Dave with Destiny, and this is Knight of Thunder out of Dave with Destiny, and he just looks like exactly what you say. He looks like he's learning how to race, and he was brilliant the last day at Newmarket when he relaxed in the race.
Okay, so your pick is, I'm going to go for Gestad, you're going for Sabah Desert.
I'm not going to lie here. I just find this race, it's
a watching race.
Very
really.
Difficult to
it's
be dogmatic because Oxagon and Puerto Rico are closely matched on their run the last time. Puerto Rico doesn't run here, but Italy does run, and Italy's closely matched, who's a similar type of horse, with Zavateri. Zavateri, has to beat Gestad again. So the three of them run against each other, and on any given day, two-year-olds can improve to the extent that it's hard to call this race. So I'm going to go with Sabah Desert on the basis of that win at Newmarket.
What about the Cesarevich then at Newmarket on Saturday? What, 2 miles, 2 furlongs, 21 runners, Alphonse Legrand did win the race last year after a bit of controversy. Jamie Heffernan riding for Tony Martin. Tomorrow, Reverend Huber is a course and distance winner for Charles Burns. Has actually improved recently, that horse, because last year in the race he was, what, eighth? But might need better ground than he got last year. Bear LeBay has run well at Doncaster and Newbury in preparation for this. I think the trip might be up his street. Billy Lochnan riding for Ian Williams. So if you're going to give me an each-way shot in this one, and a bit of money for William Hill, 8-1, Bear LeBay.
Yeah.
I don't think the draw necessarily matters too much. I mean, there's money for Dawn Rising. You know, Sheen Murphy riding for Jimmy McManus is definitely notable. Winter Fog has been a staple diet of hurdling races, and definitely money for that too.
Dawn Rising is definitely an interesting runner. I don't know if you read it, some of the interviews with Sheen Murphy last weekend, particularly the Irish Times. Incredible stuff, really. Really strong reading. And I'd have a lot of, as much as we spoke about Sheen earlier, a lot of sympathy for him, the way he came across in those articles. But he's riding. This is the funny thing. You can your personal life can be in difficulty at times, and you put it to one side when you're on the football pitch or the racetrack. And Oisin Murphy's riding incredibly well at the moment. Like, he's having a brilliant season on the racetrack, and he's a great. He's an interesting run for booking for Dawn Rising. One of an absolute hatful of Irish runners in this race. Like, a lot of jumps trainers involved. Then you've Dawn Rising as well from Joseph O'Brien and. Jamie Heffernan riding Alphonse Legrand is an interesting book, and he rode him at the Curra on his seasonal debut. I don't know, was that with the view to this, but he's my selection in the race. He was, as you say, right. He was.
He ran well last time at York.
Again, a lot of the
time. Now he's £6 higher.
£6 higher, and Jamie Powell claimed three at the time, if you want to count that in. Jamie's riding very, very well at the moment. Very, very well. And. He looks like, you know, this was probably the plan, but like, again, it's very, very open, this race. Even Willie Mullins having Winter Fog in it as an 11-year-old, he's not without a chance. Reverend Hubert, I've seen this horse finish second at Cork when he probably should have won. I was at Kilbeggan when he did win. That's not to say I would have thought he'd nearly be favoured for this race, but he's been well trained, and he gets in quite well handicapped from that win over Shuspal at Newmarket the last year over the course and distance.
Yeah, Willie Mullins is bunting in there in the Tony Bloom colours. High Pop de Loire was kind of well touted for the Ebor, didn't happen.
He actually ran okay in the Ebor, JD. Like, I tipped him up in the Ebor, and he was behind his stablemate Ethical Diamond, and that was a remarkable betting day, because Ethical Diamond was sent off 5-1 favourite, and he was sent off 7-1, having been favourite all week. So it was a really interesting move. But his run at Doncaster behind Sweet William was perfectly solid. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if he won.
Don't discount Manx Man, who was second in the race last year. Surrey Bell was one that caught my eye, has been running well recently. And about a 20-1 shot. We got Sam Norris on the line from William Hill. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, Chair. I was wondering where the money had come from for Sabah Desert, who's been a big mover. Turns out it was Johnny Ward's Euros all along. So we might have to trim that again. We might have to bring that in another tick.
Sabah Desert. Okay. What did it open up as, Sam?
It opened up 33-1 without 20. Sabah Desert. So
what about the Dewhurst generally? I mean, it seems this favourite looks rock solid, has been for about 24 hours now. Distant Storm, like 2-1 solid.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Sabah Desert, you know, kind of the one from each way punts is at a bigger price today. But you're right, Distant Storm has been rock solid all through the course of the week. 5-2 into 2-1. As Johnny mentioned earlier on a kind of rare chance to get that George Washington bloodline, which we just don't have enough of, obviously. So it could be an important horse, you know, for a career after racing. Gastard's trying to get back to the form that saw him win the Coventry, obviously, earlier on in the season. I just thought Zavateri might be the best two-year-old that we've seen this season, which I know might be a big statement. I know Aiden's got some, you know, some superstar two-year-olds, etc. But every time I see Zavateri, really impressed. Looks like he's improving along the way. Maybe one of those who was trained by a more powerhouse stable might be a little bit shorter. But for me, Zavateri's the form chance in the race at 4-1. And I wouldn't be that surprised to see Oxagon bounce back. Well, I say bounce back. I mean, he ran very well in the Champagne Stakes behind Puerto Rico in a race that I didn't think exactly ran to suit him. So I'd be half tempted to keep Oxagon safe. Do like Zavateri. But yeah, Sabah Desert, 33s into 20s is the kind of each way horse in the race at the minute.
I suppose because Zavateri is a smaller yard, Eve Houghton Johnson, you're kind of waiting for the bubble to burst. It hasn't burst yet.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, she can train them. I know everyone kind of put Accidental Agents Group 1 winning the Queen Anne, was it, a few years ago, the big price, down to a bit of a fluke. But I think she's a very capable trainer, very good handler of juveniles. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this horse is the real deal and goes to win the Dewhurst tomorrow.
Eve Johnson Houghton, actually. So I got her name kind of garbled up and mixed up there. But what about the Cesarevich then? Like, there's a lot of money in different places going in different directions here. Look, who's the best backed horse in the race, Sam?
Yeah, you're trying to work out which Irish jumps yard is going to take the turn.
Well, it's like, you know, you've JP McManus involved, you've Charles Burns involved, you've some powerful punting kind of allies here.
Yeah, exactly, which kind of muddies the waters further. I mean, Charles Burns, obviously, his reputation kind of precedes him. As soon as there's a little nibble for a Charles Burns horse, it tends to snowball. You know, everybody thinks there's a grand plot every time any of theirs are backed up, and a lot of the time there is. So no surprise to see Reverend Hubert has gone to the front of the betting with us now at 7-1. I mean, he dotted up in a trial for this. He won by 8 lengths and only has a £4 penalty for that as well. So it's quite a good spot, really, running him in that race and then come into this. He's been well backed at 7-1. The biggest loser in the book for us currently is actually one that you mentioned, John, Surrey Bell, at 20-1. Probably won't be our worst result come race time, but yeah, there's been interest in that anti-post. And obviously,
that is interesting.
Backed up by a good judge like yourself as well. So, yeah, clearly the money for Surrey Bell has been interesting, well placed. I thought Nadawi might run a big race at 18-1, placed in a couple of Cheltenham festivals, won the Galway Hurdle, obviously, this year. I know got beat on the flat at Chester last time around, but Chester might not have suited. And Spirit Nix is a good horse. I don't think there's any disgrace in losing to that. He's rated 1-4-5 or something over hurdles, 89 on the flat. So I thought Ndawi might go quite well at 18-1. But yeah, Surrey Bell, the loser in the book at the moment. Reverend Hubert, the most popular horse, certainly the last couple of hours or so.
You know the way you say loser in the book, does that mean you just stick to your guns and you take an opinion on it, or do you have to hedge?
Probably come closer to race time, we'd have a different view on it. At the minute, you know, what are we, 26 hours before the race, that we, you know, or almost no result would concern you. That those are famous last words, maybe. We had huge liabilities on any of them, but for now you just let the book develop, knowing that, you know, 90% of the cash isn't in the market as of yet. We'll take far more day of the race than we would do anti-post, and it's generally a rule for all races, really. So nothing to concern us too much as of yet. We've got the big kind of each way extra offering running on all UK and Irish racing now as well. So we've got the 5, 6 and 7 place market on the SES. So, you know, we've got kind of three separate books to manage, if you like, tomorrow. So it'll be a bit of a task for the lads in the trading room, but I'm sure that's it.
Sorry, Sammy, just on Ndawi, you know, back in the day when Tom Seagal was like absolutely the bee's knees and
10 in a row or something, wasn't it? I remember.
Yeah, he did. And his column would come out on a Saturday. And I guess this was pretty much pre-internet days, or certainly like you wouldn't know what was coming until you bought the newspaper. And then when the exchanges came in, it was people who wanted to trade would try to guess what he would
be. The price-wise horse.
And then, Sam, if you worked in the Racing Post, which is interesting, you could kind of get in. Like, so I remember if you were on a particular race and you had to ring up the trainers, like for a quote on the race, Tom Segal might say, what did he say on that particular horse? And then I'd be like, oh, Tom Segal must be tipping up. He must be tipping up in Dowie because he asked what Gordon Elliott. So that just came into my head there. But in Dowie's the type of horse he'd tip because last year he was 7-1 in the race.
But did he not fail to stay last year?
He didn't run his race. Like he didn't run at all. Regarding the gelding, he said the gelding did not stay the trip, which he was like he stopped to nothing. He's beaten 134 lengths. And then in Chester the last day, where clearly he basically did stay, he was trudged off. But he was running off, he's run off 89. He was 92 last year and he essentially won the Galway hurdle. So he's one of those with Kieran Fallon booked. And Gordon Elliott had a very good maiden winner at Navan during the week. So the problem with putting up in Dowie though is there are a million dangers in the race, let alone that, as you say, he ran disappointed last year.
The silver trophy at Chepstow, I mean, the jumps are slowly getting back into gear across the water as well. 3:20 on Saturday. Like Josh the Boss won this last year, £3 higher now, but has done nothing since. Wind surgery, now back from a break. I mean, you got to think he's nicely weighted. I thought ID Wood was interesting for a good yard. That's like Gavin Sheehan and Jamie Snowden. I thought that was a horse that caught my eye, having won last month of our hurdles. So he's obviously fit. Grey Val is a course and distance winner who warmed up for this in the flash. King of the Lake is nicely weighted, ran up a sequence in the spring. You got Friendship, a course and distance winner there. Royal Infantry once was eighth in the Cheltenham bumper. Even the McManus horse, Thanks for the Help, was a good winner at Punchtown. I remember seeing him win there in the spring. So what you want to be on side of here, Sam, is there any money? It's probably kind of early at the moment, but horses that are fit or horses that have got a past form?
Yeah, a little bit of looking at trainers that tend to excel at this time of the year. And Nigel Twist and Davis, obviously Willie on the licence now, very much fits that bill. The yards runners are normally always ready to go kind of in the first few months of the season. They often enjoy a really good time of things pre-Christmas. And obviously won the race last year with Josh the Boss. I mean, he ended up torturing me all through last season, Josh the Boss, because this race worked out so well last year. 17 runners in the race last year. 9 of those horses came out and won races subsequently. In fact, across the 9 horses, they won 14 more races for the remainder of the season. So it just worked out amazingly well this year, this race last year, apart from the winner, Josh the Boss, who really disappointed on all of his 3 runs subsequently. But obviously coming back here, you know, the C&D, et cetera, the fact that Nigel Twist and Davis does seem to really excel in the early part of the season. I understand why he's up there in the betting. I can't bring myself to be back involved again.
It's a tough one, Sam, isn't it? When you I've had horses like that where, like, if you sort of follow a horse a bit, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. In a sense, he was beaten. Like, say he was beaten 47 lengths by Brighter Days Ahead, so runs nowhere near the form to win the race last year. But then you think, actually, this is a horse on the up. And then you'll see money for him tomorrow, and you're like, oh, should I back him again? Should I back him again?
Yeah, it's exactly that, isn't it?
Racing's a funny game like that. It's hard to, like, horses will drive you absolutely mad at times.
ID Wood is the one I go for each way in this. ID Wood, I like the yard.
Yeah, it is, as Sam says, it's that time of year for Nigel Twist and Davies to strike with horses. But it's I think the best thing you can say about this race is William Hill is paying 5 each way places. I actually feel Napras Hill could be interesting. Paul Nicholls has him back. He's been off the track for 2 years, though. So yeah, it's a big price.
Nice, the Premier Nursery Handicap at the 6-furlong race at 3:10 on Saturday, 14 runners. I kind of narrowed it down, Johnny, to Moorhampton, Nakamura, who's got a claimer on a £7 claimer, and Luna Mia. Did you agree when I mentioned those three there now?
I think what needs to be said here is this race is a staggering indictment of prize money in Irish racing. I looked this up today.
29.5 grand.
In 2008, this race was worth 45,500 to the winner.
Interesting.
Now, this is a specific race, but as I was pointing out today on one of our racing groups, compared now to 2008, how much is, say, like, coffee, a pint, milk, meat, a taxi, all of the house prices, all of these things, like massive inflation since 2008. So the real 45 and a half grand would be like 70 now or something like that. Like way, way more. And they're racing for 30 grand. Like it's only 14 runners for a quite a prestigious historic race. I think it's not a great renewal. Like 91 is the top weight, but 29 and a half grand for the Birdcatcher is rubbish. Like the absolute rubbish for a race of this nature. Because even if you win the 29 and a half grand, straight away you're given about a quarter of that back to the trainer and the jockey. So prize money, I spoke to a trainer about this morning. I was a runner of the race. He's very despondent about things in terms of prize money, but in terms of the winner, it's really open, JD. I'm going to go with Parkside Lads. We didn't speak about the apprentice title race. Robert Huerty on 21. Wayne Hassett on 20. Sorry, Robert Huerty on 22. Wayne Hassett on 21. Wesley Joyce on 21. And two others, Nicola Burns and Sam Cohen on 18.
Wow.
It's a brilliant race. And it was pointed out to me that, you know, Wesley Joyce would be a great booking for this, but
He's got to show some form. He doesn't show much form at all.
So I was strong on this horse at Bellystown when he won. Wasn't a great race, but his run at Navan prior to that was very, very good. And I just think he might be sort of trained for this race. That sounds waffly, but his last two runs haven't been too bad. This horse, Sam, you haven't this price yet. I think this horse will be about 25-33 to 1, genuinely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be Tom Segal here. What did that trainer say?
He's not also trying to put pressure you into a tissue, Sam.
It's an open race, Sam.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've got to report back your fancy to the training
room. That's
so
it.
You've got no chance of getting 25.
Do you know, there's another one as well. Esteban. I had to look this horse's, you're on about pedigrees, JD. Esteban's by Wooden Bassett. The damn Lady Dahlia was a mile and a half horse, and they've been running this over 6-7 furlongs. It goes back to 6-4. If you watch this run at the Curragh the last year, because it stays on when it gets outpaced, no chance, and then you're kind of expecting it to slightly trail off, and all of a sudden it kind of sprouts wings in the last furlong, and you're like, no surprise this horse has headgear, but he's a really interesting runner. I don't know where they're going with him trip-wise.
Yeah, Yudish Geared Harry, £7 claimer on Nakamura, has won his last two starts.
From Mauritius, I think.
Navan and Cork. Yeah. I think I'm going to stick with the Johnny Murchyard and him in this one.
Yeah, flying at that horse.
What about Charlie bet this week? You got 50-year-old Johnny, 25 each way or 50 on the nose? Do you want to keep it simple?
Yeah, not apologies in some ways. Last week, my tip was like 25 to 1 into 8 to 1, but ran like it should have been 250 to 1. Parkside Lad for me in 25 each way in the Birdcatcher. Abysmal prize money, but hopefully there'll be a nice few quid for the charity. 25 each way at... we don't have a price yet.
Well, we'll get a price. 3:10 at Nice on Saturday, the Premier Nursery Handicap, the Birdcatcher, and the horse is number 10. Parkside Lad, 25 each way for Johnny. Wesley Joyce riding for Bill Durkin. This is on Saturday at Nice. Sam Lawrence, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, lads.
Look forward to chatting soon. Thank you. And episode 97 of the Racing Pod, Johnny Ward, thank you so much.
If you see John Duggan and Johnny Ward in Mallow on Sunday, and it's if it were to happen, you can tell this is, you know, this horse is, or just we've nothing to be doing for the day. But maybe we will own a horse together someday.
Give us the name of the horse again that is in your
book away, Freddie.
On Sunday,
Sean Mockenward, yeah.
Check it out, folks, and you know what to do. And if it wins, we'll talk to you next week. We'll lots of stories in the pod.
If it loses, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Chat then.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.